First Peter chapter number 1. Sometimes on our Wednesday night series, there's a come to a certain portion of scripture that I like for the whole church to hear, because usually on the kids are in the back on Wednesday night. A crowd on Wednesday night is not as big as it is on Sunday mornings. And this morning we've taken our Wednesday night series, which is First Peter, and we're moving the message to this morning because we're talking about the precious blood of Christ. First Peter chapter number 1, we've been singing a little bit about the blood, and I want us tonight, this morning, to just realize the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. They say, Pastor, we all know this. Well, it's good to be reminded of it, and you'd be surprised how many churches today do not talk about the blood of Christ. They have actually, many churches today, the liberal ones, if they don't like talking about the blood because they don't like the sacrifice idea. They call it a bloody religion. They even take the songs that we sang today, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood. That's not in hymn books sometimes nowadays. Now, obviously, it's in our hymn book and in the churches that are similar to ours, but there's power in the blood, things like that. Most churches nowadays don't like to talk about that. But there's an importance to it. And I think as believers, we need to understand the importance of it. And that importance is without shedding of blood is no remission. It means there's no salvation without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Some people try to water that down. Some people try to say it's not important how Christ died. But the Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And this morning, I would hope we can look at this passage of scripture and remember a couple things about it. And if you're here this morning and you're trusting in anything else besides the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're just not going to make it to heaven. The Bible says that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this morning, as we look at the title of the message, is the precious blood of Christ. And let's look here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, give you a little background. The book of Peter is written during a persecution time and period. It was written, many people believe, during the time when Nero was there and was the Roman Empire. He is writing this to first century Christians, and he's writing this to first century Christians that are being persecuted for their faith. Now, you say, oh, what's the big deal about Nero? Well, you go back in history, Nero was probably what most people would consider a madman. He was crazy. But one thing we know is that he hated Christians. He even set Rome afire, and then who did he blame? He blamed the Christians. And what he would do is many times he would take these Christians. Now, these are people who just believe in Jesus Christ. These are people who go to church or go to these church services, and they would believe in Jesus Christ, and that's all they would be guilty of, being a Christian, being a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. He would put them to death just because they were a Christian. He would many times burn them alive in his garden. He would use his garden as a way to light up his garden at night by using Christians. And the Colosseums back then, many times the sport of the day would be groups of Christians fighting against lions or fighting against gladiators. And the gladiators would have swords and spears. The Christians would have nothing. It was sport to them. They would put Christians to death. And that's who the group of people that Peter's writing to. And we've been looking here in verses 1 through 17 in the last couple months on Wednesday night. And we come to this spot. And I hope we can understand some things from this passage of scripture. And we can all walk out of this place saying about the precious blood of Christ. Let's look here in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We're actually going to start in verse 17. We're going to look at verses 18 through 22. But there's something I'm going to bring back in verse 17 towards the end of the message. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, and I want you to notice that, without respect of persons, that means that, and we talked about this past Wednesday night, God is not a respecter of persons. He loves each of us the same. He blesses people the same way. He punishes people the same way. We are all the same in God's eyes. We've been in Genesis that we've been talking about. Leah was hated by Jacob. Rachel was loved by Jacob. God loved them both the same. And we got to remember, he is not a respecter of persons. He loves us. He loves each of us. And he cares for each of us. Let's keep on going. Judgeth according to every man's work. He is also going to judge us someday. There's two different types of judgment. There's judgment that an unsaved person will stand before God called the White Throne Judgment, where they will see whether or not their name is written down in the Book of Life. And if your name's not there, it talks about how they'll be cast into eternal punishment. And there's also the Bema Seat of Christ, the Judgment Seat of Christ, where all believers will stand before God and give an account. Give an account of what? Look what it says here. Judgeth according to every man's work. Now, it also talks about it's the attitude that they do their work with. We looked at that this past Wednesday also. And you keep on going. He says, and he tells us how we're supposed to live our life, because we know these things past the time of your sojourning here in fear. And it's talking about having a fear of God, a respect of God, a love of God so much you do not want to do anything that would disappoint or fail him. Let's look at these verses this morning for 18 through 22. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, and that's a word that we're going to look at this morning a little bit, redeemed, with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help this morning. Lord, we know that the message is important. Lord, we know that we need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, but we need to hear from you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. Lord, I pray you have me to say the words you want me to say, and Lord, that be the words that are needed for this morning. Lord, my heart's desire is there's someone here this morning that's unsaved and not on their way to heaven. They'll see that you shed your blood for them, and Lord, they'll come to a saving knowledge of you. And Lord, that we that are believers will remember that our sins have been purged, and Lord, that you shed that blood for us, and there's a certain way you want us to live also. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to notice the word in verse number 18. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And that word redeemed is an interesting word. It means to buy back. The word redemption is found in the dictionary by saying the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Here's the thought. It's a beautiful word. It's actually taken from the slave markets of the days of past and this day and time that the Bible was written. It's to be purchased from or bought out of slavery. It would be referred to being released from slavery. And you say, how does that apply to us? See, God knew that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that there was sin that was going to be passed down to all of us. And that we would have to redeem from the slave market of sin. That we were all hopelessly put in because sin has been passed down from generation to generation. In Genesis chapter number 3, God created man without sin. He placed him in a perfect place, and he was without sin in that perfect place. And then Adam and Eve sinned, and sin entered into the bloodstream of all humanity. And say, we needed to be redeemed. See, we were sinners, lost, without hope, and we needed to be bought back. But there was only a certain price that could be paid. And that's why the precious blood of Christ is so precious to us, because there was no other payment that could be used. Point number one is the price of our redemption. The price of our redemption. We owe everything to the Lord because he paid to redeem us. Now, you might say, okay, if I work and I try really hard, can I buy myself back? The answer is no. We owe everything to the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition from your fathers. Now here's the thought is that, hey look, he's talking to these first century Christians and he's saying, hey look, your redemption, when Christ bought you back with the precious blood, when he shed his blood, there was only one thing. The reason why it was precious, because there was nothing else that could pay our sin debt except for the blood of a sinless person, and the only person who could ever accomplish that was when God came and took human form and became man and lived a sinless life and shed his blood on a cross for our sins to pay our sin debt. He is reminding this first century church and these first century Christians, hey, look, you weren't redeemed with something like silver and gold. Now, silver and gold is valuable. Silver and gold has a monetary value. It has a worth and a value. He says, but look, you weren't redeemed with something as frivolous as that. that silver and gold sooner or later will contaminate, and sooner or later it will go away. It may take a long time, but it still is something that will go away. But the precious blood of Christ is something that cannot become contaminated. It's not something that will lose its value. It's not something that will expire. And that's what he's saying to his church, as silver and gold from your vain conversation. Now that word conversation we've talked about before is about the way of life. And that word vain can mean worthless. And it says, it's from your worthless living received by tradition from your fathers. What does that mean? I think what the Bible is saying there and what Peter is reminding them, he says, look, your fathers may have taught you that you can work and that you can earn. Because that's what every religion teaches you besides Jesus Christ and besides Christianity. Every other religion in the world says you have to do something in order to gain favor of God, in order to go to what they will call heaven. They say you have to do, you have to pay some type of penance, you have to do something, and if you do this, then you can become a Christian. See, the difference about Christianity, it's not saying do, it's saying it's been done. See, it was done on the cross when the shed blood of Christ was paid, that he paid our sin debt back for us. And this vain or this worthless living that they have received from the traditions of your fathers that had been passed down from generation to generation, even in the Judaism of that day, the religious leaders of that day, they were trying to pass off the law and say, hey, look, if you follow the law, then you can go to heaven. And these other religions that were out there in that day, they would tell you, hey, look, if you did this and did this and did this, then you could be on your way to heaven. See, he says that's worthless. That's vain. If you are trying to get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ and his shed blood, it is vain and is worthless. It does not matter. We weren't saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold. We were saved by something much more precious. And that's where you come to verse number 19, the price of redemption. The reason why we owe Christ everything is because we weren't redeemed with such things like that. Corruptible things that only corrupt after time. Instead, we were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. See, we are sinners and we owe a sin debt. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned. We all owe a sin debt. And Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. See, if Christ had owed a debt, he could not pay that debt for us. He was a pure, spotless Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus Christ proved that he was sinless because he was sinless and was able to pay our sin debt for us. Look what it says in verse 19. Why is it so precious? Why was it so important? As a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now we got to get to this understanding is that that the blood is important. The blood is something we should be thankful for, and it is precious because Christ was without blemish and without spot. I'd like you to take you back to the garden for a second. Can you imagine Adam and Eve living in that perfect place? Only having that one requirement, to be honest with you, most of us probably would have eaten of the tree too. So don't be getting holier than now with them. We probably would have done the same thing. God comes looking for them in the garden. Where art thou? They've hidden themselves. And then what happens next? You see the lamb that was picked. I know it says an animal. I'm thinking that was some type of lamb. But there's an animal that God slain and gave the skins to cover Adam and Eve. But the blood that was shed. And I can only imagine while Adam and Eve are there and they're feeling sorry for their sin. And they're sitting there and they're wondering what's happening and wondering why this has to happen. And God goes and chooses an animal, lays him on an altar, and he kills the animal. I'm sure Adam and Eve, who had never seen sin, who had never seen death. And that most of us would say, oh yeah, killing an animal is nothing. Just, you know, if you see a deer out in the backyard, just shoot his head off. You know, that way you can eat the meat. No, Adam and Eve had never seen death. And to watch God kill that animal, what do you think Adam and Eve's reaction would be? I think that action would be, he's innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. We're the ones that did wrong. Why are you killing him? See, that was a representation of what was going to come someday with Jesus Christ. See, that blood that was shed by those animals, it could not wash away our sins. That blood was not precious, but the blood of Jesus Christ was without spot, without blemish. You know what? It is precious because it is the only thing that can pay for our sins. The price of our redemption was huge. There is nothing else. You can bring all the money in the world. It's not going to buy you anything when it comes to redemption of our soul. There's only one thing that can save our soul, and that's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. that great price that was paid. We look at that and we see Christ dying on the cross. And as Easter's coming up, this is what we're supposed to be remembering. Part of the reason why we preached a message this morning is, He died. He did nothing wrong. We're the ones that sinned. Why is He dying? He is dying to redeem us. He's dying to buy us back. He is dying because we are sinners and we are in need of salvation. And there is nothing else that can pay that sin debt than the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why it's precious. And that is why it's so important we drill this in our head. And if you're trusting in anything else than what Jesus Christ did on that cross for your salvation, it's vain. It's worthless. It's a tradition that your fathers maybe passed down to you. And maybe in sincerity, but the Bible says it's a worthless living. And it's not going to save you. Second thing I want you to see, not only is it the price of redemption, the second thing I want you to see here is the plan for our redemption. The plan for our redemption. The plan for our redemption. Look here, verse number 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You know, there is a difference between a rescue and a redemption. What do you mean? Well, you think about it. When there's a fire, what happens? They go and rescue them. When there is someone who's having a heart attack, they send an ambulance to go rescue them. See, nothing takes God by surprise. When it says here in verse number 24, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. What the Bible is saying here is that salvation of God was worked out before the world was ever created. You say, how can that be? How can that ever happen? You're talking about God who knows all things. Nothing takes Him by surprise. The things that you do doesn't take Him surprise because He knows everything in the past, everything in the present, everything in the future. That's what that foreknowledge and that being foreordained. What it's talking about here is that before the world was ever created, God knew that there was going to be a Brian Pease. And God knew that Brian Pease was going to have a sin problem and that Brian Pease could not take care of his own sin problem. So they had a plan for my redemption. They had a plan for your redemption. What was that plan? Was that God would take on flesh and become man and live a sinless life and pay that sin debt for us. Say, why is that important? It's important to know that if God has done all that work for us and made that plan for us, no other plan is going to work. I want you to remember that no matter what happens in your life, that God knows and He has a plan and a purpose for you. Think about what Jesus said in John 17:1. He's in the garden here. He has that high priestly prayer. These words speak Jesus and lift up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son that Thy Son may also may glorify Thee. He said, the hour is come. What hour was that? That before the foundations of the world, before the world was ever created, this plan, this date was marked that Jesus Christ was going to come and He was going to be in that garden and He was going to say, the hour is come. That, what hour was that? The hour that redemption's plan would be played out. And then when He's on the cross and He's there and He's dying for our sins, He says, it is finished. What was finished? The fact that redemption's plan was done and over. God had accomplished what He had planned and that purpose. When the spotless Lamb of God went to Calvary, the sin of the world was placed on Him and the wrath of God rolled upon the Son of God, punishing sin in the body of our Savior. And this is just the way that God had planned it. Now see, when we come to Easter, and there's sometimes people that have different opinions about Easter. I remember teaching junior church, and I remember teaching the story about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and one boy had told me, yeah, I would die for the sins of the world too if somebody forced me to get on the cross and hammered me to a cross. And I said, you missed the whole point. This was planned ahead of time. Jesus Christ willingly gave His life. At any moment, any time, Jesus Christ could have came down off that cross. He could have just thought it. He could have came off the cross. He could have killed all those religious leaders. He could have killed all those Roman soldiers. He could have done anything He wanted to because we are His creation. But He chose and He planned to come to this world and to die for our sins so we could be redeemed and bought back. And this is why we celebrate Easter and Resurrection Day. Now we feel sorrowful when we see him hanging on the cross, and we should feel sorry for our sins, and that should cause us to want to live someone else, some other way, a way that's going to please him. But when he hangs on that cross, it was his plan. It was part of our redemption. It's something we should rejoice in. It's something that we should praise the Lord for, because he rose again to pay our sin debt for us. Now this morning, we see the price of our redemption. Man, what a price. Precious. Gold, silver, all the gold in the world, all the silver in the world brought before God cannot redeem one man's soul. Just the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The plan of our redemption, it was done before the foundations of the world. Jesus Christ would die on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. The Lord Jesus was not forced to go to Calvary. He willingly came to this earth, became a man without ceasing to be God, and died on this cross for our sin. Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning? The third thing is, I want you to see, and this is for those that are saved and on the way to heaven today, I want you to see the product of our redemption. The product of our redemption. When we are redeemed, there is a different way that we are supposed to act. There is a different way that we're supposed to live. Because of Calvary and because he has saved us, he has called us to a holy living. He has called us to live a certain way. The Bible says that we're new creatures, that old things are passed away. And there's a couple of verses here, and then we're going to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'd like you to look at something there in a second too. Who, and it says in verse 21, who by him, this is 1 Peter 1:21, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now we see the product of it. You know, how do we know that Jesus Christ's blood is going to shed to save our sins? It's because God raised him up from the dead. I mean, you see your proof there. It's the proof of the redemption plan. It's there. Jesus Christ raised again. If Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, then it wouldn't matter. He'd be dead, he'd be in the grave, and our hope would be gone. But because we have proof of his resurrection, where is our faith and hope supposed to be in? It says here in verse 21, our faith and hope might be in God. So because of our redemption, our product is, number one, we should have faith and hope in God. Verse number 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You see a couple things in this verse too. It says that we are purified, our souls are purified by obeying the truth through the Spirit. By Spirit-filled living, we are going to obey the truth of the Word of God. So a product of a redemption is, number one, is that our faith and hope should be in God. Number two is that we should live obeying the truth according to the Spirit of God. And you see down here at the end of verse number 22, how we're supposed to treat one another. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And we're supposed to treat one another with respect and love one another. Other believers are supposed to get along. They're supposed to love one another. We looked at verse number 17. It said, God's not a respecter of persons. The great thing is, redemption plan is the same for all those. I don't know who the richest person in this room is. I know it's not me. I don't know who the poorest person in this room is. But you know what? We all are saved the exact same way. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible's saying that we as brethren should love one another that same way. We shouldn't be looking at one person's based off of their color, or based off of their pocketbook, or based off of maybe their jobs, and based off of their notoriety or their fame or their friends or where they live at. We are brother, and we should love one another. And that's what it's saying here, is that God was not a respecter of persons, and that we are together, which it was unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And we rushed through that a little bit because I want you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1 was a really interesting verse that I, when going through my devotions this past week, that I thought, boy, that's something that I think we should bring out this morning. See, redemption should make us a new person. We're all level at the cross. We should love the brethren the same. Remember, God's not that respecter of persons. Who are we to condemn or look down on someone else? Now, I want you to see here what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1. He's writing to the same group of people, even in the same time period. Look what it's, we're going to start in verse number 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, you get this here, that we have been given according to the exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now look at this. When we are redeemed, what happens? We escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are supposed to live differently as a redeemed people. Now he begins to talk about how we're supposed to be building upon our faith, how we're supposed to be growing as a believer, how we're supposed to be bearing fruit. Look what it says in verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence. And what does it mean, giving all diligence? It means that we put work to it. We continue working to this. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge. And it continues on, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things, now look at this phrase, remember this is written to believers, in verse number 4 it talks about partaking of the divine nature, escaping corruption, for if these things be in you, what are these? These are similar to the fruits of the Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit's controlling us. These are things we will add one to another. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that a redeemed person, this is how you're supposed to live. You're supposed to live a way where you're adding to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brother kindness, brotherly kindness charity, and we are supposed to be a people that are not barren, that is not unfruitful. Look what it says in verse number 9. But he that lacketh these things, what's those things? Those fruits of the Spirit in their life, is blind. And cannot see afar off. Now, why would that happen to a believer? Look at that next phrase. And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Now, this is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be adding. We're supposed to be working. We're supposed to be... And you say, Pastor, where do you see that? It says diligently earlier, doesn't it? It says that how we're supposed to be giving all diligence to be growing in our faith and letting the Holy Spirit of God control us to produce these things in our life so that we will not be barren, so that we will not be unfruitful. And then it comes to the point, it says, but if you are not doing these things, you've got a problem. It says that you are blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from the old sins. So you don't get what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying, is that people forget that they've been redeemed, so they live whatever way they want. See, a person who remembers that they're redeemed, a person who's living for God, is going to be adding these things. They're going to be fruitful. They're not going to be barren. But the truth is, most Christians today are barren. Most Christians today do not bring people to Christ. Most Christians today are not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. And they're saying, oh, it's just too hard of a day. It's too hard of a time. No one can live that way. No one can bring people to Christ. But the fruits of the Spirit is found in the Word of God. It says it's available to us as we make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit of God. As we let the Holy Spirit of God do this work in us, He can produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He can produce all those things in our life. And if we do not have these things, He's saying that we're going to be barren, we're going to be unfruitful. And why is that? It's because we forgot that we've been redeemed. So I think this is what problem in most churches today is. We think we like hearing about the blood, we like hearing the price that was paid, we like salvation's plan, we like going to heaven, but the product of redemption is to provide a person who is going to live like Christ and bring other people to Christ to be fruitful and not barren. And that's what it's saying here. Why is Christians today not fruitful? Why are Christians today barren? Why are Christians not living for God? It's because many of them are blind and cannot see afar off. Why is that? It's because they have forgotten that they've been redeemed. So this morning, you see the price of a redemption. Man, I mean, you think about it. Everything that Jesus Christ went through, I know He planted, but you see Him dying there. And just as Adam and Eve probably said about the animal, don't do that, God. He did nothing wrong. We're the ones that sin. We watched Jesus Christ dying on that cross. We should cry out, don't do that to Him. He's the one. He did nothing wrong. We're the reasons why we sin. We've forgotten that. We've forgotten that we put Him on that cross. We've forgotten that great price of a redemption. We've forgotten that it's been planned all along. And part of God's plan is for us now to bear fruit. And it's our responsibility to live a life that's not blind. We're supposed to be able to see afar off, which means seeing that someday that we'll spend eternity in heaven. There is a certain life that we're supposed to live. And why do people not see that? It's because we forget that we've been purged from our sins. We forget what Christ did for us. We go on living our lives busy and filled with so much time and so many things, and many times things that may be good but just really aren't important. And we waste our times and our lives daily just doing so much, we forget that our sins have been purged and that we have a purpose to life now. It's not to just live to please ourselves, but instead, as it says in verse number 5, giving all diligence. What does that mean? That means working towards this. Our Christian life should be something that's growing and learning and adding to our faith. Things such as temperance and things such as virtue and things such as patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. These things are the fruits of the Spirit that God wants to work out in our lives. And how come we're not letting them? It's because we've forgotten that we've been purged. We've forgotten the blood that He shed for us. It's not something on our mind. And that's why we need to be close to the cross. We need to stay close to the cross. We need to see Him hanging there for us. We need to understand that that precious blood is the only thing that could have bought our salvation, and He paid that sin debt for us. And we need to say, if He did that for us, I should be willing to do anything for Him. Because He was willing to die for me, I should be willing to live for Him. But what is the product of your redemption? Many times Christians don't live the life that they're supposed to. You say, does that mean they're not saved? I don't think that's the case always. I think there are times when people have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they believe maybe in a prayer, or they didn't understand what they were doing, or they did it for show. But look what it says in verse number 10 here. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, he says brethren, so he's talking to believers. He says, make sure of your calling and your election. Make sure that you're saved, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. He's saying, look, make sure you understand your calling and that your salvation, you're not going to fall if you remember that you've been purged. If you live your lives remembering what Jesus Christ did for you, it will change what you will do tomorrow. When you wake up tomorrow, if you wake up saying, hey, I got to do this, this, and this, and I got to accomplish this, this, and this, and you say, okay, and forget all about God. Or if you wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what, Jesus Christ died for me, what is it He wants me to do today? It's going to begin with reading His Bible and reading and praying to Him and speaking to Him and spending time with Him, even if it means we need to get up a little bit earlier. I know it's a little bit hard and a little bit tough, but if you consider what Christ did for us on the cross, is that really asking too much? No, there's nothing that's too much for Him. We should be willing to live for Him. Why aren't people willing to live for Him? They've forgotten that their sins have been purged. What were their sins purged with? The blood of Jesus Christ. So we see the price of our redemption. What a precious, precious price. Man, how much it was paid. Nothing else. You know what? That I was reading that, you know, during Hurricane Katrina, so many people came to give blood to help people. They told people, stop giving blood because we can't use anymore. Sooner or later is going to expire. Sooner or later is going to corrupt. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I read. But you know something about the blood of Jesus Christ? It was shed over 2,000 years ago, and it's never going to expire. It's never going to corrupt. It's still saving souls even today. See, we weren't, the price of our redemption was not cheap and is very precious. But don't forget that Christ was the one that redeemed you. He's the one that bought you back. What are you not willing to do for Him today? Let's go ahead and have everybody bow their heads for a second. I like